Um. Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I'm your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning, right here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and the destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism in the media, with military and economic schemes. If you listen, your eyes may be opened, and you may ultimately change your mind towards some of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission this morning will be to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance, you will be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. Our phone number, as always, toll free, 877-300-7645. Yes, the Roman Catholic Church had to sack a pope, a cardinal, and a bishop. Ah, you say, oh, that's not fair. The pope resigned on his own. He wasn't sacked. Oh, he was sacked. You know, it had been 600 years since a pope last resigned. And in this particular case, this man resigned because he was exposed, just as Cardinal Mahoney and Bishop Curry were exposed by the victims of priestly sexual abuse in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. You see, the difference between that trial and the much larger trial in the United States in Boston and many of the smaller trials throughout the United States and of course, the ongoing trial now in Australia, the largest of these trials, which took place in Northern Ireland, where 30,000 young people were abused by the Roman Catholic Church, is that as a condition of the settlement, which was for $650 million, that the Roman Catholic Church had to publish its internal files on who knew what and when, and what the Catholic Church's hierarchy's response was to priests who had been determined to be pedophiles. And it was those files that they fought for years to keep unreleased, even though they had agreed as part of the settlement to release them. Now, the fact, the victims, the Roman Catholic children who were abused by these priests, made the decision, because they're now adults, made the decision they would take less if the abuse was stopped by the exposure of the church and the actual people who aided and abetted the pedophiles. And so it was a condition of the settlement. $650 million plus the release of those names and the internal documents. Roman Catholic Church said, no, we're not going to do that, even after they had agreed to do it. But finally, the court forced their hand. And the day they were released, Cardinal Mahoney was stripped of his authority. Bishop Curry had to resign in disgrace. And it's not a matter of a few days later. And Pope Ratzinger, Benedict to you Roman Catholics, resigns. First pope in 600 years. Let's look at the other popes who resign in office. To get to the last one, so if you just think, oh, you know, the guy was just tired. He was an old fella, and geez, you know, it's old fellas deserve a break too. The last pope to resign was Gregory the 12th. He did so in 1415. 1415. We're talking about almost 300 years before Columbus stumbled upon the islands in the Caribbean. 1415 was the last time one of these jokers resigned. He was 10 years into his tenure. He resigned not for health reasons. He resigned because there was a crisis in the church. It's called the Great Western Schism. There were three rival popes who had been selected by separate factions of the church, and so somebody had to go. Prior to him, it was Pope Celestine V. He was a recluse. Perfect. A recluse pope who had only reluctantly accepted his election and 1294. So now you go all the way back to 1294 to get to the next one. And, of course, we just learned that Gregory the X, 600 years ago, he resigned because at the time there were three popes. Well, Pope Celestine was a recluse. He not only resigned, he fled the Vatican after 3 months on the job to wander in the mountains. According to the history timeline of the church, the bishop who became his successor, Boniface the Eighth, was so intent on ensuring that Celestine the Fifth did not become an example for future popes, he ordered him to be seized and imprisoned. He died in custody in 1296 at the age of 91. Oh, by the way, after being a recluse, they went into the mountains and went to the job, and then being thrown in prison, he was declared a saint in 1313. Hi, Scott.
I was just going to say, do you think he was only on the job for 3 months? Do you think like he started looking at like he saw everything and he was like,
I'm out of here.
Yeah, this isn't what it's supposed to be. You know, I'm out of here. Spend time by myself.
Yeah, a plague on all of us. Like the guy that's been the chief exorcist of the Vatican. We shared that story a couple of months ago. The chief exorcist of the Vatican came out about a month ago or 2 months ago and said, you know, Satan's all over this place. The Vatican itself needs an exorcism. Yeah, it's very possible. Now, you go back before him, this next guy, people who really haven't studied the history of the Roman Catholic Church and don't detest it, as much as I do, may not know this name, but Benedict the Ninth was the last of the pope previous to that to resign. He was the second pope in the history of the church to resign. He was elected pope at 23. Now, back in the day, you were elected pope based upon how much your family could pay the church. The church was eager to have money. The big Florentine families had lots of money, and so they decided that they would they bought their office. Well, he bought it at 23, and he turned the Vatican into a brothel. Yep. It was not only whores running through the Vatican with reckless abandon, but also bestiality. It was easily the most decadent whorehouse in Italy during the time of Benedict the Ninth. And then previous to that, you have Gregory the Sixth. Gregory the Sixth had thought that Benedict the Ninth, his predecessor, of course, Benedict the Ninth was ran a whorehouse out of the Vatican. Spent all of his time in engaged in orgies. He was the Caligula of popes, if you will. Although there were a lot of them that acted like Caligula, and so he bribed Benedict to vacate the office. And because he bribed him to vacate the office, and it was a direct bribe to a previous pope to resign so that he could become pope, he was asked to resign the papacy because he had obtained it through bribery. So that's the story of those who have resigned before Cardinal Ratzinger. We have Martin calling in from Missouri. He would like to add to our discussion here on the Pope resigning. Welcome to the program, Martin.
Hi, thanks, Sean. I had an observation and
sure.
A question. The observation is that on the Drudge Report was a picture of the St. Peter's Basilica getting struck mm-hmm. with lightning, and on some of the news channels this morning, they had footage of that and saying that was God saluting Ratzinger for all his good works.
Yeah, you know, it is it is amazing.
That was pretty comical.
You know, quite honestly, I don't know if it is appropriate to laugh when in fact Ratzinger resigned because he was the chief enabler for pedophiles in the Roman Catholic Church. And so, you know, laughing at that is kind of sad, but it is so disgusting that if you don't find some humor in this kind of news, you know, I don't know how you even deal with it. So let's justify our laughing for that reason. You know, it's amazing how religious people are. They will tell you that if a lightning bolt had struck and it burnt down the entire St. Peter's, they would have said that was God saying he didn't want him to resign and that you know he was his guy. And if it just struck it and made a nice show, then it was God's saying, hey, wow, you know, I'm really with you there, bud. Nice call. In reality, the prince and the power of the air, according to Yahweh, a god that not one Roman Catholic knows, is Satan. The prince and the power of the air, according to Yahweh, is Satan. And while I'm sure that Satan has some limitations on his authority, if there is an act of nature that is destructive and is destructive for a purpose, then it can never, ever be attributed to Yahweh. Because Yahweh made it clear that the prince and the power of the air is Hasatan, the adversary. So Satan may be saluting. Oh, that's absolutely possible. When Yahusha said that he saw Hasatan fall from heaven, he described his appearance as flashes of lightning. When Paul, on the road to Damascus, had his conversion experience, he described his meeting with that spirit as flashes of lightning. You think you're probably getting a picture here.
I look at this and I go, this was a good call by Hasatan, because this kind of solidifies the papacy. I mean, People look at that and go, isn't that miraculous?
Yeah. Oh, but, you know, Roman Catholics don't need all that. Roman Catholics can look at a piece of toast and say, there's a picture of Jesus. You know, they can look at a statue and say it's crying, therefore it's alive, and they'll have lines out 100 blocks long to see the statue that is crying. You know, they will they'll believe that General Constantine, who was a worthless political and military thug, saw a blazing cross, which was a pagan symbol, in front of his god, which was the sun, and heard under this sign conquer, and that was a message from God. I mean, it's pretty easy to fool religious people, after all.
Miracles.
Yeah, stay with us, Martin. We'll be back with the Shattering Myths after the commercial. I'm your host, Yana. Just having a little fun with Google because of the story of Benedict the Ninth. He was his father actually bought him the papacy. His father was the count in the Tuscan region. His father bought him the papacy when he was around 18 years old. He had absolutely no qualifications whatsoever for the papacy, other than he had, you know, powerful social connections. The story in Wikipedia here of him describes him as feasting on immorality. A historian of the day wrote that Benedict was a demon from hell in the disguise of a priest. He occupied the chair of St. Peter, by the way. There is no connection whatsoever between the man who we've converted his name to Peter, his name is actually Shimon, and the Roman Catholic Church. None. And he profaned the sacred mysteries. But when you're dealing with sacred mysteries and that's what they're writing of you, then you are purely Babylonian in your religion. God doesn't have any secrets. You want secrets, you need to go to Babylonian-type religions. The first pope, he is the first pope that was said to have been a homosexual, and that he is also known to have held orgies in the Lateran Palace. So he was, you know, your overall good guy. I am quite certain that Hasatan would have been pleased with him. What do you think, Martin?
I think that's pretty disgusting.
I think so, too. You know, what's just amazing to me is that, you know, Roman Catholics have been beguiled into believing that God chooses the Pope and that the Pope is God's spokesperson and representative on earth and that his decrees are infallible. And if you look at the history of these morons, you'll find more skeletons in their closet than probably any other group of people on earth. It is just... Again, I think it goes back to the lightning striking the building and the people getting a religious hoo-ha out of it, is that if you're a religious individual, evidence and reason don't matter. It doesn't matter that the popes have been scumbags for hundreds upon hundreds of years. You don't care. You've been told that they're the Holy Father. So, you know, line up, pay them your money. Sit down in the pew, agree with what they have to say.
Well, that's pretty much it. I was raised Catholic and had eight brothers and sisters. The hypocrisy of the religion and the people involved in the religion, including my parents, chased me out. I couldn't take it anymore.
You know, let me give you a great example of this hypocrisy, just to play off your story for a moment. I'd love to hear more of it. But yesterday in the Los Angeles Times, there was a piece on Mahoney, where faced with this debt of $650 million to the children that he had allowed to be abused. You know, Cardinal Mahoney absolutely played a substantial role in enabling priests to abuse Catholics, and he made certain that those Catholics kept their mouths shut who had been abused. And when the bill came due for $650 million, you know the first place he turned to pay that bill?
Of course.
This is amazing. He stole money from the Roman Catholic cemeteries and the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. When you are a Catholic and you want to be buried in one of their cemeteries, same with most cemeteries, you pay a fee that includes not only the cost of your being interned in the cemetery, but that everyone who is buried there pays the majority of their money for perpetual maintenance of the cemetery. And so he took $150 million, 88% of the money that these families had paid to maintain these cemeteries. He robbed it from the only group of people who wouldn't lose their faith over what he had done. He stole it from the cemetery fund, which, by the way, is illegal. You know, and it was the Pope's butler. You talk about hypocrisy. The Pope's butler was thrown in jail because of he... read the letters of constant and horrific financial misdealings amongst the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church, where they were robbing their parishioners blind and all sorts of cronyship deals, and they were skimming money. And it was those memos that he turned over to the press because he thought that it was disgusting what the leadership in the Vatican was doing. And here you see this cardinal robbing the Catholic dead. They had already robbed them of their souls, and now they were robbing them of the maintenance of their graves. Stay with us, Martin. We'll be back in just a moment as we continue to talk about the hypocrisy of the Roman Catholic Church. And in particular, when we return, I'd like to speak about the differences between Roman Catholic teachings. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. I am your host, Yetta. We're talking here with Martin, who is a former Roman Catholic, and was just talking about having left the church because of the hypocrisy that was displayed. What were some of your concerns related to that hypocrisy, Martin?
When I was probably about 9 or 10 years old, that's right where it started.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in a convent. It was And the priest at the church, there was only one. Mm-hmm. I remember my mom talking to my dad several times about how he would stay out, and he would take this particular woman out, and they would stay in the car till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I just that started it. That started my my doubts.
Yeah, yeah. It's a wonder how many what percentage of Roman Catholic priests are engaged in sexual activity outside, since they can't be married, following Pauline doctrine, of course. How many of them are engaged in inappropriate acts? Now, those that are engaged in consensual sex, like this guy was, I mean, other than being a hypocrite, and therefore you ought not trust him. But I really don't care. I only care that people, you know, trust him. But you know, when you start perpetrating your sexual acts on young children, you know. That's an entirely different story. I think pedophilia is probably the single worst crime that a person can commit. So you just witnessed their behavior, and their behavior and their words didn't stack up.
Exactly. And when I saw it manifest itself in my parents, I said, no, enough's enough. I'm gone. And I haven't seen the door of a church or even talked to my parents in probably about 8 years.
Yeah, you know, what I wanted to do with Yada Yada when it was completed is, and probably should do it with Introduction to God. For those listening, it's introtogod.org, is to nail a copy on it of it onto a Roman Catholic Church door with the media present, akin to Martin Luther. And I don't want to be equated to Martin Luther. He was a raging anti-Semite. But the reality is that my issue with the Roman Catholic Church is primarily the hypocrisy in terms of their teaching and their claims when you put them next to God's claims. For example, they instituted Sunday worship because of the fact Constantine and all the original Roman Catholics were sun god worshippers, and so the sun god was always worshipped on Sunday, and so they instituted Sunday worship, even though God said it's the Sabbath that is to be set apart. They incorporated the two most religious days on the pagan calendar, the birth of the son of the sun, which was on the winter solstice, and they called that Christmas, and then 9 months, with a 9 month time lag between Easter, which was the second most important day. That was the day where the sun god impregnated Mother Earth. She became the queen of heaven and the mother of God. And 9 months later, of course, the son of the sun is born on the winter solstice. They incorporated Easter into their calendar, another good pagan holiday. And not only did they embrace these pagan holidays as part of their church teaching, when they had power of life and death, they said that anyone who would observe any one of God's seven call out invitations to meet with him, that they would be killed. And then they, when God says that I have only one name, and if you approach me by any other name, you will cease to exist. That's just what he etched in stone on the first of the two tablets, was the first statement that he etched in stone on the first tablet, where he also said that he was our Savior. They created their own Savior. They named him Jesus Christ. And they said that if Yahweh's name is cannot be used in any Roman Catholic service, cannot be used in any Roman Catholic building. And everything these guys did, everything that they have taught and have done, is the antithesis of what God has taught us. They are the antithesis of Yahweh's message.
Well, they've taken everything and twisted it. For example, Yahshua said, call no one father and no one rabbi.
Correct.
And I was talking to my brother in my parents' kitchen one day about that, and my dad became livid, came in and said, the Bible is open to interpretation.
Well, of course. course, you know, Yosha said that, and by the way, most people twist that, and they think that rabbi means teacher, because that's what your Bible says, and rabbi doesn't mean teacher, it means exalted. That's why rabbis took the title. It means exalted. It's from Rab in Hebrew, which is to be empowered, to be exalted, and then therefore that's the title they stole. And so what he's saying is that you don't call religious figures love to be called, and political figures love to be called father. That is, you know, Stalin wanted to be called father. The nutcase in North Korea wanted to be called father. The Roman Catholic Church, their leadership wants to be called Holy Father. And Yosha said, don't do that. There's only one father that you ought to be paying attention to, and that's your Heavenly Father. Then by the same token, he says, don't exalt anyone. You know, and this idea of this the great exaltation that and the ceremony that goes along with the election of a pope, he says, don't do that either. Everything these bozos did. You look at all of their art, you look at all of the imagery in the Roman Catholic Church, it's all around sun god. I mean, there's sunbursts and halos and sun god imagery throughout everything that they do.
So Chris Rock is wrong when he says Obama is like our dad?
You think? You know, when a nation moves to that point, and that's what was Yosha's point, is that when you move to the point that you start calling individuals father, political or religious individuals father, and you start exalting them, that as a individual and as a society, you're lost. That those things you ought not do, because what they do is they set the mindset is that you should trust the institution. And that's what the Roman Catholic Church wants you to do. They want you to believe that membership in their church in good standing gets you into heaven. They claim that they have the keys to heaven. The fact is they don't. And what God is saying is if you fall for that, if you trust them, if you refer to them as father, then you're in trouble. You're going to die. You're going to be estranged from him. You know, God said, if you don't attend my invitation of Pesach, you're going to die. If you don't attend my invitation for unleavened bread, then your soul is going to cease to exist. You know, if you don't attend my invitation for reconciliation, if you simply just ignore it, as all Roman Catholics do, you're going to be estranged. You're going to cease to exist. And so there is a consequence of this. I had a fellow that wrote me a beautiful letter yesterday. He and his family are hugely evangelical. He has come to realize that Christianity is just a whole pile of lies. And he's come actually to know Yahweh. In fact, he's written me some brilliant insights in terms of scripture that have come to him now that he's cleared his mind of Christianity. But he said, you know, he went to his, and this is typical of a Roman Catholic response, although this is an evangelical Christian family. He went to his wife and he said, you know, you're talking about this relationship with this Jesus Christ and how much you love Jesus Christ. And you're praying to Jesus Christ all the time. You know, there is no Jesus Christ. I mean, that's not his name, not even close to his name. And, you know, Christ isn't a name. It was Christus and it was part of a title. But the title is Messiah and his name is Yahusha, who explains who he is and what he's doing. You know, you ought not be praying to him. In fact, he even said, don't pray to me. Pray to the Father. Pray to Yahweh. And the wife's response was, you know, he's big enough to know what's in my heart. He knows who I'm talking to. It doesn't matter. Who are you to say that I can't use the name and shouldn't use the name Jesus? So that's the mindset. You know, I don't have a problem with somebody, if you're completely ignorant, you don't know that his name isn't Jesus. You don't know that Christ isn't the last name. If you don't know, but when somebody tells you, hey, you know, your popes are pedophiles and they're enabling pedophilia, they're scumbags. And everything the Roman Catholic Church is telling you is a lie, and you show it to be inconsistent with God's testimony, then you're without excuse.
I found that the hierarchy in the Catholic Church runs the Mother of God, then Jesus Christ, and then God.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, and that Mother of God thing is from the Babylonian religion. That's how the Babylonian religion began. Nimrod was, which means the sun. Nimrod died a vicious death and from a wild boar. That's the reason why they eat the Easter ham. Was part of Nimrod's, you know, swine is something God says that's not good for you. And the 40 days of weeping for Tammuz, Lent today, is all a direct result of that. Well, when he died, he was the king. Semiramis, who became known as, who's known as Astarte in scripture, she became known as Esther, which Easter is based. She then claimed, she was the wife, and so she was about to be deposed, you know, be a new king. She claimed that that right after he had died, that the son, which was God, that was Baal or Baal, the Lord, that the sun impregnated her directly on the vernal equinox on what we would consider to be Easter Sunday. And that she then, 9 months later, on the winter solstice, which we consider Christmas, gave birth to the Son of the Sun. Therefore, she was the Mother of God and the Queen of Heaven. And Roman Catholics have embraced that wholeheartedly. And you will find in that there are more Roman Catholic churches and more Roman Catholic programs and teachings that that pay tribute to Mary as if she somehow is special because of the association with the Queen of Heaven, the Mother of God, and the Babylonian religion. The Babylonian religion recognized that if you can give women something to worship, then if they're easier to control. And that's the reason it exists. And you're correct. Well, they don't want to admit it. In Roman Catholicism, Mary, who is Semiramis, who is the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of God, who is the founder of the Babylonian religion, she is the whore of Babylon. She is front and center of their religions. Why, Yahusha himself. Back to Shattering Mist. I was reading a little bit about the history of the Vatican and where it's located. The thing that always strikes me about the Vatican is the Egyptian obelisk in the middle of it. The obelisk was a religious artifact that was erected in Egypt to Amun-Ra, the sun god. It was in Rome on the Vatican Hill. Prior to the building of the basilica, it was there showing the Roman, it's a sign of the Roman conquest of Egypt and therefore the Roman conquest of the Egyptian gods. And the site itself was essentially across the street from the Roman circus. The Colosseum did not exist at that time. The Colosseum was funded by the precious metals that were stolen when the Romans raised Yahweh's temple in Jerusalem, and it was built by the slaves that that the Romans hauled out of Israel in 70 CE. And so it was a burial ground for the performers in the Roman circus, which was, of course, you know, all played out as a form of entertainment to the Romans. Even the statue in front of St. Peter's, by the way, there was no man named Peter. The man's name was Shimon. He was nicknamed Kephesh, which is Aramaic for rock. So his name was Shimon Kephesh. There is no justification whatsoever for Peter. Shimon, he means he listens. And so rumor is that Peter ended up there and was buried there. So they have this big statue in front that is supposed to be Saint Peter. Guess who that statue was actually made for and was simply retooled slightly to be the mythical Saint Peter. It was Jupiter. I mean, these boys from start to finish just do everything wrong. It is if you study their history, the first thing that you come to realize is that Roman Catholicism is based on Mithraism, which is the worship of the unconquerable sun, and that all they did is take the pagan religion that had been born in Babylon and had been cultured in Egypt and then polished in Greece and was then being observed in Rome, and they gave that pagan sun god religion new titles, and that became the religion of Christianity. It was born in that milieu by a sun god worshiper named Constantine, and it has never left. But I'm glad you left, Martin.
Wouldn't a Catholic, a good Catholic, say, isn't that a wonderful basilica, and pay no attention to that obelisk in the corner?
Oh, no, the reason they love that obelisk is that Roman Catholics, in fact, Christians at all, don't know that steeples and obelisks are like the statue to, or the monument to George Washington in the United States, who was a Freemason. They don't know that those were sun god symbols. And the reason they were sun god symbols is the first rays of the sun and the last rays of the sun, morning and night, would strike the top of the obelisk. And so they were specifically designed to honor the sun god. They would, and the inscriptions on the base of it even talk about it being in honor of Amun-Ra. What they say instead is that even though there's absolutely no information whatsoever that would indicate that Shimon Kefesh made his way to Rome, none. They say that he not only made his way there, but he died there, killed by Nero, and that he was buried by that obelisk. And so that obelisk is now a symbol of the burial of Saint Peter.
Right, and anything you say to the contrary is just a conspiracy, just like anything you say about Washington, D.C. and...
Correct. Yeah, correct. You know, if you tell the people the truth that Abraham Lincoln, for example, was a racist, that he hated the blacks in this country and wanted to do everything possible to rid the country of them, you tell them the truth, they don't want to hear it, then you're not a patriot, you ought to leave. And same thing with religion. You tell people the truth, and those who are religious, the last thing they want to do is process that information. Evidence and reason mean nothing to them. Well, Martin, thank you for your call. We'll return to Shattering Myths and turn the page and consider Yah's testimony when we return.
For health and vitality for you, your family, and friends, get the Healthy Start Pack from Youngevity, as recommended by registered pharmacists.